inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today is an elementary school teacher, so he's got a good, steady job, but he doesn't make a ton of money. Over the last couple of years, he's managed to buy 11 rentals. He's done it by using a couple of different creative strategies to come up with the down payments. So on the show today, we're going to figure out exactly what he did. He's also got a real interesting way that he screens tenants. It's something that I haven't heard of anybody doing before, but it's working out great for him. So we're going to figure out what he's doing. Also, he's figured out a way to make his rentals just a little bit more profitable. So we'll talk to him about that. Joining us on the show today from Riverton, Wyoming is Andy Samuelson. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Andy. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. It can be a real challenge to stay organized and keep track of all your rental income and expenses for tax time. Most people end up with a pile of receipts that you need to sort through and make sense of. I want to let you know about an easier way. It's a software that I use called Rental Hero. It was built specifically for rental property owners. They have a really easy to use web portal, as well as an app where you can easily input all your income and expenses. You can take pictures of receipts and you're done with the paper receipts for good. They have a free 30-day trial. You can try it out. No credit card required. If you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. Just go to rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L. com. Andy, you've got a great job. You're a school teacher. You've got a stable job. You've got a job with a pension, which is pretty rare these days. Why did you even want to get involved with rentals?
I guess the first thing was just to supplement our income.
Okay.
Add to retirement, just to have a great retirement. We thought we better have a little bit extra besides our state retirement. We've got three little girls. Of course, we want to get them through college and get them started out on a good life as well.
Okay, so that all makes sense. So tell us what your portfolio looks like today.
We've got 11 units right now. We've got they're split between our personal portfolio, and then my brother and I actually own a LLC that we started 2 years ago. In our personal, we've got two duplexes. So we've got the two duplexes and a single family home there. And then in the LLC, we've got three single families and a triplex.
Now, how are you doing all this? I mean, you mentioned earlier that as a teacher, you don't have a huge salary. And I feel like this is something that holds a lot of people back, is just coming up with the down payments. So how did you buy your properties?
Well, we had a little bit of savings for the first one. We saved up a little bit of money. And we were able to buy it for a little under market value. And that gave us just enough where we could get into the first one. The second one, we worked with an owner who financed the down payment for us.
Okay.
And so the house needed some repairs and probably wouldn't be sold on the open market. Just because a potential buyer might not be able to get financing on it.
So did you get a regular loan and then the seller kind of gave you a second mortgage for the down payment, or did the seller finance the whole purchase for you?
No, on that one, it was just he just financed the down payment.
And okay.
The bank was okay with it because it was a kind of a specialized, you know, in-house loan, and they understood, you know, kind of why we needed to do that.
That's great. So you were able to buy that property with no money out of your pocket.
Right.
That is awesome.
It was just a 1-year loan to kind of figure out some other financing.
Okay.
And ended up getting it paid back. So.
Perfect. Okay, and then what about the other properties? Like, how did you come up with the down payment for them?
When my brother and I started the LLC, we each agreed to put in $500 per month. And that gave us, our goal was to get one property per year. And the $500 per month or $1,000 between us allowed us to get one property that way.
Awesome. Okay, and so you guys just set up a savings account. You each put in $500. And then after a year, you've got $12,000. And that was enough to for a down payment in your area?
Right.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, that sounds really obtainable. So are you buying basically a property a year?
Yeah, that was kind of our goal we originally set out. For us, we had a 30% return on our cash we're putting in these rentals.
Now, a 30% return is pretty incredible. So what are you doing with that cash flow? Are you using that to supplement your life or to pay for things, or like what do you do with the profit every month?
Well, we really try not to. We really try to just keep our rental money in our rental account for our personal ones, and then the LLC money in the LLC checking.
Okay.
And that's allowed us to just our cash flow over the last 6 or 7 years has allowed us to purchase more properties.
Okay, awesome. All right, so now you've got enough properties and enough rental income every month where it's kind of starting to snowball. So your rentals yes. are buying you more properties. That is awesome. Exactly. I love that. You know, and it's like the more properties you buy, the more your cash flow is going to increase and the more frequent you're going to be able to buy properties. I mean, I'm sure at some point you'll be able to buy two properties a year just with the cash flow. That's great. So what's your long-term plan with the rentals? Like what are you guys, you and your brother shooting for long-term?
Well, we don't really have a specific number, more just a cash flow number. Eventually we'll get to the point where we've got enough rentals where the management, both the need for the management, as far as time, as well as the monthly income, will allow me to leave education and just do rentals full time.
Awesome.
Which I guess would be my long-term goal.
Yeah. Now, that's a good point though. So, all right. So today, do you manage the properties yourself?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do all the management, all the maintenance. We do hire out most of the cleaning, any plumbing and electrical, of course.
Is that hard? I mean, so, you know, for someone that maybe has a job where they're working in an office and they can maybe sneak out over a lunch break to do a showing or you know, maybe take some calls at work, you've got a job as a teacher where you really can't get out of the school, I imagine. Is that hard to have to put everything on hold during the school day?
I guess when we started as teachers, so. It's been like that since the beginning. We've got, you know, from 7:30 to 3:30 is school time. And between 3:30 and 5, that's go time for contacting, you know, utility companies and our county treasurer for taxes.
Or any showings or anything
else. A realtor. Yeah, getting showings done. Those can happen in the evening, you know, a lot of times. But,
okay.
Stopping by the bank, everything like that has to happen between 3:30 and 5. So
it almost sounds like it's maybe like kind of a part-time job after school. You might work on this for an hour or two.
Yeah, it is. I would say I spend a couple hours a day. Not all of it is managing what we have. Some of it's looking for new properties. Mm-hmm. Or
So let's talk about that. So when you find a new property, are you looking for properties that are pretty much ready to go, ready to rent out as soon as you buy them, or are you looking for properties that you're going to need to fix up a little bit?
We've done a little bit of everything. We've bought houses where the foundation, half of the foundation needed to be repoured. We ended up jacking up the whole house just a bit, pouring a new foundation underneath it. A lot of ours, though, they just need paint, maybe some new kitchen cabinets and countertops in the next couple years. They're livable right now, but they're maybe not the best. We can get them at a fairly decent price, but they're going to need some work over time. You know, a lot of ours need new windows, or they'll need a new roof in the next, you know, 5 years or so.
And are you doing a lot of that rehab work yourself too?
Yep. Yeah. A lot of our stuff, we, as soon as we get it, my dad's a painting contractor. And so,
okay.
You know, as soon as we get, you know, most things, we put a coat of paint inside and outside.
And how do you find the time to do that? I mean, with your day job and managing the rentals for an hour or two after school, how do you find the time to do the work?
Well, the nice thing about teaching is we do have 3 months off in the summer. So our big projects, the ones who don't, that don't have to be done right away, they can wait till summertime. The ones we struggle with the most are the small things, you know, the water heater that goes out on a Tuesday afternoon or something.
Right.
They've got to go, you know, they might have to live without hot water for a day before we can
get around, you know,
to it. 3:30 the next day, go and get a water heater and go put it.
Talk to me about the house that you had to repair the foundation on. Now, that's one of those things that scares me a little bit. I don't know if I would feel comfortable buying a house with a foundation problem. But what I've found from owning rentals is that a lot of things that seemed really big, huge deals to me at the beginning when I was getting started, I found out weren't really big deals. Is a foundation one of those things where it sounds like a big deal, but it's really not? Or are you just really skilled and you know how to do that?
No, I would say it's in between. It's a big deal. Really didn't scare us too much. You know, we got a good price on that house. Like I said, he probably couldn't sell it on the open market. Probably $30,000 below market price.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that still scares me. I don't know if for a $30,000 discount, I would buy a house with a foundation problem.
For $2,000 or $3,000, we saved $30.
Well, okay. Yeah. So that's a pretty good return.
Worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great return.
It sure does. Yeah. That sounds great. Well, now, let's talk about when you have a vacancy. So when you have a property that comes vacant, how are you advertising it? Where are you finding the best tenants today?
Probably 75%. 75% of our hits are probably coming from Facebook.
Is it really? Okay.
A lot of them are word of mouth also, you know, but
it's interesting. You know, it's like I feel like Facebook Marketplace has really exploded. A few years ago, I feel like nobody was getting tenants off Facebook Marketplace, but it seems like that is really a place people are looking today. So now let's talk about when somebody comes to you, they like the property, they want to see it, you give them an application. Tell me about like what you're asking for and what you're looking for when you give them the application.
We'll have them fill out an application right there on the spot. I found if you hand people an application on a clipboard and a pen, they're way more likely to fill it out right then and there rather than if you have them take it with them. They've got to take it with them.
Yeah.
You know, not lose it, fill it out, remember where to, you know, get it back and then get it back to you in a timely manner so you can actually make a decision about it. So that works well. On our application, it's just a fairly standard one. Just all their information. We do take their social security numbers, and we have done credit and background checks on them. But recently, I've kind of gotten away from that. In the last probably 3 years, I haven't done one.
You don't do any kind of screening on them, like you're not running their credit or anything?
No, a lot of our tenants or prospective tenants in our area don't have the best credit, just kind of by default. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be in the 600s. You know, if they were running an 800, they'd probably be in a position to buy their own house or, you know, figure out something else.
Sure. Now, what about just making sure that, you know, they're not a felon or don't have any other evictions in their background? Like, wouldn't it be worth it to do the background check just to get that information?
Well, we used to pay the $29.99 or whatever it was, you know, for a basic credit and background check. But recently, well, at that same time too, we had a spot at the bottom of our application, and it just says that you're signing this, and in signing it, you're agreeing to, or you understand that we will pull a background and a credit check. And then we leave about a half a page full of lines there for them to explain what we might find, and kind of their, it's a spot for them to tell their side of the story. Mm-hmm. And that has been the most valuable part of our application. We learned so much from what people write on those lines, and you'd be surprised at all the stuff that they will tell you just by giving the opportunity, you know?
That's interesting. Okay. So they think that you're going to do a background check on them, right, but you're really not. And you're just saying,
I don't mean to say, you know, I don't mean to be dishonest with them.
Right. Right.
There's no need to, if they're going to tell you everything honestly, right, up front.
So like, what kind of stuff do they, what kind of stuff are they telling you? Like, is someone like, oh, you know, I had a felony, but it was no big deal? Or like, what kind of stuff do people write on the application?
Some people use it just for, to tell their whole personal life story. You know, they'll tell a half page summary of their whole life, you know, why they're here and what they're doing. And, you know, they got laid off 2 years ago, and now they're, you know, looking for another spot because they got a different job. And other people, you know, they'll tell you all about their bankruptcy that they had.
Yeah.
After they went through a divorce or something, and now it's all squared away, and they've got a credit score of, you know, 715, and it's not the best, but it's, they're improving, you know.
Right.
And so if someone's going to tell you all that, you know, there's really no reason.
That's interesting.
Pay the $29.99, and then, yeah, half the time that's not even on there.
Right. You know, it's, right.
It was just long enough ago that it doesn't show up, or maybe I'm just doing the basic version instead of the pro version, you know, where you got to, right, pay $49.99 or something.
So do you charge an application fee when they fill out the application?
No, I don't. Okay. We in our area, I think some of the larger apartment complexes might, but we've thought about it. We've talked to other landlords, and, you know, we listen to different things, or read it, you know, different newsletters and things like that, you know, and about fees and different opportunities to charge application fees. But we just never really have, yeah, with our tenants in our area.
You know, it's working for you. It seems like, you know, that's great. I always think it's a good idea to get a background check, and they're so cheap, and most of the time you can charge the tenant whatever it's going to cost. But in your area, it sounds like you're probably getting more applicants because you're not charging an application fee. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I did try it. We tried to do a $20 application fee 1 year, and this was probably 5 years ago. And there were so many people that I thought, man, that could have been a good renter, that they just kind of said, well, okay, mm-hmm, we'll think about it. And if we're really serious, then we'll turn in the application. And I felt like we missed a lot of good tenants.
Yeah.
And maybe our places were empty, you know, for a month. Whereas now we try to have, you know, no gaps in our turnaround unless they're on purpose. If we need to paint the place, or, you know, redo the kitchen or bath or something, you know,
right,
we try,
right,
not to have any.
Now, let's talk about that. There's a couple of different things that you're doing to try to increase your rental income. And I want to talk through this. So one of the things that you've done is you're open to doing short-term rentals. Tell me how that works.
We've found that offering people a six month lease instead of a year, we do charge a fee. So we'll do $50 more for a 6 month, just added on to their monthly rent.
Okay.
So if it's $750 a month is what we have advertised with a year lease, if you want a six month lease instead, it would just be $800 a month. And then for a 3 month lease, even shorter, we'll go ahead and add another $50. So for $850, you can just do a 3 month.
Okay. So you're making more money. What always, I've thought about doing something similar before, and what always stops me is thinking, well, I'm going to have more vacancy when they move out. So like with turning the properties that much often, that more often, doing a 3 month or a 6 month lease, do you find that you end up having more vacancy?
Well, like I said, we try not to have any days empty. We might have days empty as far as people moving out and people moving back in, but paid days, we try to have people all paid up to the 30th, and then the next tenant will be paid from the first on.
Okay, so you're showing it before when the first tenant is in there, you're showing the property before they move out?
We try to only do, usually only one showing is all it takes.
Okay.
Because we're doing the open house style, we just schedule one time, and if we need to show it twice, we will, but usually if we have five or six different parties who come by and stop by at that time, we can choose out of those.
Right.
And that's a big enough of a pool to find a qualified renter.
So. I think that's great. I mean, that's an easy way to kind of juice your cash flow a little bit. Tell me about, I think this is an interesting story too, where you bought a property that the owner wanted to leave behind all their furniture. Tell me what happened with that deal.
Well, we found it's a two bedroom, one bath. They were going to go live on their boat in Alaska. They didn't need any of their furniture. They didn't need their dishes. They didn't need, you know, the pillows and the blankets on the bed, you know, everything was left behind. Well, of course, all the appliances and everything also. So we started renting it as a fully furnished place.
So how much extra do you make doing it that way?
If you take out the utilities and paying the cable and Wi-Fi, it's probably $300 a month extra.
Okay. And, that's awesome. I mean, it's like you could have bought the property with all the furniture in there and dishes, and you could have just paid a junk company to take everything out. But instead, you turn that into a benefit, and you're able to make more cash flow on it. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. And we don't have a huge... We're not really a vacation destination here in the middle of Wyoming. But we do have a lot of traveling nurses, a lot of traveling professionals. And so they'll rent it out at 2 or 3 months at a time. Some interns that come through, and we've had great luck with it. I think it's only been open 2 weeks in the last 3 years.
I love it. Congratulations, Andy. You're doing a great job with your rentals. Keep up the great work. If Andy inspired you and you want to buy your first rental or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Jaylee Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something that'll work for you in your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Jaylee personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe and you'll be notified as soon as we put out a new episode. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.